We are in Mishlei Perek Yud Bet. Again, the part where we're just kind of each pasuk really is independent. And we had talked about ethics as a philosophy, how doing ethics, thinking about the right thing to do, is really hard because human beings aren't that smart. We talked about virtue ethics, which means being a good person, rather doing the right thing by being a good person. Just working on sort of your character and without having to analyze every single action to try to think which is the most moral one. I quoted this cartoon before about virtue ethics, that problem with this idea of virtue, be a good person that makes you good, is that the alternatives are impossible. Okay, the other kinds of ethics we talk about are deontological. We know this word now, right? We've said it over and over again. Okay, that's the idea that there are specific rules. You follow the rules. You don't care about what happens to actual people. It's just follow the rules. And that in order to do that, you have to intuit the coherent set of moral laws of the entire universe. And consequentialism, modern terms usually called utilitarianism, do the most good for the most people, whatever's going to end up with the best outcome. But that requires you constant sum for maximal total happiness over a space of all possible actions for everyone. And you have to predict the future in order to be a consequentialist. So virtue ethics says none of this stuff is possible. So the only move remaining is to try to be less of a, and you can fill the blank in it however you will, just be a better person. That's where we kind of keep coming back to. The pasuk we're on is Mishlei Yud Bet Chet. It says, "L'fi sichlo yuhul ish." A person is praised according to their intelligence. Benavelev, and someone who's a twisted heart, yelavuz, will be ashamed, will be insulted, will be shamed. Now that's not true. People don't necessarily respect intelligence or disrespect people with poor morals. Someone's more telling us that we should train ourselves to think that way. It's worth acting as though people are gonna praise wisdom. Pay attention when wisdom is praised. Make that part of our media diet. Things we're looking at are ones that praise the right thing. And pay attention when perversion is scorned. We're human. We care about what other people think. So we've talked about René Girard's mimetic desire. This should be with it. We imitate others. We want what other people would think. The things that other people praise are the things that we praise. And there's a similar pasuk to this later on in Mishlei Chafzayin, which is Mitzaref lecha kesef v'kor lo zahav, a crucible for silver and a furnace for gold, v'ish lefi mahalo, and a person according to their praise. Which is usually translated as that, that the Mitzaref, the crucible is how you purify silver. The core is how you purify gold, and a person's worth, their purity, is measured by lefi mahalo, how others praise them. Actually, on that pasuk, that to mitchashev lefi mahalo. He is a person is considered. You tell how what people think about a person by how they praise that person. Al yeshab briot mahalototo. That's how other people praise him. But masavotavim for his good deeds. Rino says, no, it's not the way the person is praised. It's mahalo is the way the things that they praise. The things that you talk about, that tell you your worth. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. We have this pasuk, Shlomo says, "Amar mitzarif malo," that a person is judged according to his praise, according to the way what a person thinks is important, the thing that a person prays, that tells you what they're worth. And this is way, I think it's from ancient Torah. Torah to work. That a man can be judged according to his praise. Doesn't mean according to how he is praised, but according to what he praises. What a person speaks highly about or badly about tells a lot about his or her value system. Someone who's always seeing the bad in all things Jewish cannot be honoring Torah, even if he's quite observant in his outward behavior. Moshe Feinstein famously said that if you complain that the Israelites are Yid, it's hard to be Jewish, your kids are never going to appreciate it. You have to praise it. As the point is, criticism tells us more about himself than about the person or institution he is maligning. But this idea of the mitzaref, the kesef, crucible for the silver, the korlos I have in the furnace for the gold, they're not tools for assessing purity. They're the means for creating purity. The mahalo is not so much how I can judge what a person's values are. They're the what creates the value. Your praise is what creates your values. The things that you say, you reinforce the things that you think feel important and it affects those aspects of your personality. So you can actually choose your character traits by telling yourself that those are good things. And that's what other people will see in you. So our pasuk says, "Lefi sichlo yuhalish," according to your judgment, that's the way you'll be praised, meaning that you need the intelligence to decide what is it that other people are going to see in you. And you can decide that. Next pasuk is Tov niklev eved lo. Better to be demeaned, abased, embarrassed, sort of as nothing, but eved lo, and have work. From being honored and lacking bread. Let's see. You translate that. Better to be lightly esteemed and have a servant, and put on airs and have no food. And the Gemara says that's taking that literally, it means you should get a job. So when you tell us all your kids, okay, that whatever job you have, it's better than not having it and not having anything to eat. Famous Gemara is the Gemara in Batra. Gemara le Rav l'Rav Kana. So Rav told Rav Kana, "Netush nevil to b'shuka. You should go skin carcasses in the market, ushkol agra, and earn a living." Below Tam, you shouldn't say "Gavra Rabba Ana." I'm a great person. Right? I'm a rabbi. Zila be milta, and this is beneath me. Better you should go work for the butchers, skinning the animal carcasses, than not have a job at all. But here in Mishlei, presumably that's a metaphor. Talk about having humility to be able to learn. Don't say you know everything. Say, okay, I have to accept what I have to accept what I can learn from everyone. The Mabel puts it. Derech HaMashal, as a metaphor, HaMitkaberu, someone who honors themselves, right? Mitkaber is the reflexive. I tell myself I'm important. And therefore refuses to learn from others. You're going to be lacking bread of Torah. You're not going to know anything. Think you're that smart. If you're too important to learn from other people, you'll never learn. But Nikleh, who Eved La'atzmo, but someone who is willing to be lightly esteemed, not esteemed at all, not honored, will be a servant for themselves. They'll help themselves. Hanilin Ishmato will help his own soul be able to learn. The way the Gra puts it, Tov Nikleva Evidlo, better to be demeaned and have work. Tov Ladam Shit Bazeb Me'atzmo, person better off allowing yourself to be embarrassed. Say, I don't know. Be Evid La'atzmo. That you should basically serve yourself by having by earning a living, afshu, even though it is a an unre not a respected kind of job. Again, that's taking it literally. It's better than feeling yourself all important and honored, but not having anything to eat. That's better. The acting with authority. Therefore, lacks anything. Take this as a metaphor. True in Torah. Totally bazot asmo. Better to be ashamed. To not be so proud of yourself. It says later, Mishnah, im navalta behinase yad lapeh. If you are, how do I translate that? If you've been a fool, a naval, then put your hand over your mouth. Stop talking. Accept that you were wrong. And that's better, mitzvah, someone who cares about their own honor, honoring themselves, and is too embarrassed to ask. I don't want people to think that I don't know the answer. Shemevin, but you are they are calling, you act like you know, you understand, you know everything. Or is that who chaser chaser you then, therefore you're not gonna know. Need the humility to learn. And the next pasuk, again, these are all really separate pasukim here, two different lessons. Pasuk Yud is Yudea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto. A tzaddik knows the spirit of his animals, Rachamei Rasha'im Achzari, but the kindness of the Rasha is cruel. And this gets into the model of Tzar Balei Chayim, right? Yudea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto. A tzaddik is someone who knows what animals are feeling, what they're thinking. There's a mitzvah of tzar balei chayim, right? We have to avoid causing pain to animals. It comes from the Torah where it says, "Ki tirecha mar sonacha ravetzach masa'o." If you see the donkey of your enemy crouching, collapsing under his burden, chadalta mi'azav lo, and you shall not abandon him. Azov tazov imo, you definitely need to help him, right? This poor donkey is staggering under the load. You need to help unload him. So
That's a mitzvah in the Torah.
that's the mitzvah, right? That's pasuk in Shmo in Mishpatim, and that's taken as the source for this Isra of Tzar Balei Chayim. This whole discussion about the whole literature about, since it emphasizes ki terecha moras sonacha is your enemy. Is it a matter of overcoming your dislike your enemy, or is it we're helping the chamor, not the soneh? But you have to help the chamor. Even if you're going to help your son. Sefer Chinuch says that Meitamei mitzvah, this mitzvah of helping unload the donkey, does not apply to unloading his car, is Isur Tzar Balei Chayim. I can't cause pain to animals. To Isur Min HaTorah, that this is in fact a Torah mitzvah. This is the Binyan Av that sets the whole mitzvah of Tzar Balei Chayim. And that requires having empathy. Right, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh V'Em Tov. I understand what it is, the spirit of the animals, what they're feeling. But the truth is, the reason for the mitzvah we look at it is not because animals have inherent moral worth. This is not so much causing pain to animals. That causing pain even to animals means you're a cruel person. Yes, this is the idea of the virtue ethics. You're a bad person if you allow an animal to suffer. And that translates to everything you do, right? That's from a virtue ethics perspective, every act of cruelty is reprehensible. So it's not so much that I worry, again, not so much that I worry about the animals, that what I worry about what it's doing to you by being cruel. And there's the Note of Yehuda, who was 17th century, has a famous tshuva on hunting, which is long, but it's just fascinating. So I'm gonna look at this. So Tshuva. So he starts out. Here's an answer to a question I got. He was a leader in Central Europe. He was paskin for all of European Jewry. And he says, Shalom lahayt sarev, b'chukei chorev. Hello to this honorable person who deals with the laws of Chorev of Har Sinai. Arehu kavod avi ha'aluf ha'torani, a friend who is of the Torah teacher, Moreno Rav Norm Fricht Oppenheim. I have no idea who that was. But he got a question through this Rabbi Oppenheim. Michtavo kabalti. I got his the letter. Inini makiro. I don't know him. Again, this is I got it through this other person. I don't know who the person is who's asking this question. I'm completely unfamiliar with this. But he's got a question. And he's wording it in the language of the Chachamim, right? It's an intelligent question here. Money, therefore, and I am obligated to answer anyone who asks me a question. So I'm going to address this Shaila that I got from him. Mishora and the and the basis of his question was an ish echad. There's a person, Asher zachor Hashem b'nachala rachava, who got a substantial inheritance. Ish lo kfarim v'yaraot, and he owns whole villages and forests. Yaar, and their animals frolicking in the forest. So his question is, Im aser lo lelech ba'atzmo, can he go by himself? Can he himself go lirot b'kanes treifa, to shoot with a literally a tube of fire? That's his term for a gun. Letzod say to go hunting. Right, he owns all this land. Can he go hunting in his own forest? Or is it forbidden for a Jew to do that? That is, that's the problem with Tzar Balei Chaim. Can he just go hunting? This is just recreational hunting, not looking for the food. He's just going out and shooting animals. And so there's the issue of Tzar Balei Chaim, the issue of Baal Tashkit, don't waste. And then he goes into all the halachic issues that involved. Question whether you can, whether it is halachic, what the nature of Tzar Balei Chaim is. I'm not going to go into that part. It's good for the halacha side of it. But he ends up, but we really don't have to go in depth into this. Because we know that anything that a human being needs, let lay ba mishum, right, that spelling, let bay mishum tzare balei chayim. That if you need it, there's no issue of tzare balei chayim halachically. You're allowed to kill animals to eat them. You're allowed to kill animals to do medical experiments if it's against, but if it's for a human need, halachically that's fine. B'gam lo shayach tzare balei chayim el tzaro uli nicho b'chayim, and tzare balei chayim causing pain is only relevant while they're alive because they're experiencing pain. Kill them, that's not an issue of Tzar Balei Chaim. I mean, they're not in pain as they're dying. That's not the halach issue of causing pain. So that's the halacha there. Actually killing it, if you have any benefit from it, it's fine. It's not probably fine. But still, I am astonished. A gufa davar, on the whole, a concept of hunting. We didn't see any hunters in the Torah. Rock Nimrod and Esav, right? Nimrod and Esav are the only ones who mentioned as being hunters, and they're clearly not good role models. It's pasnish for Jews. Isn't it appropriate? And then how could a Jew go ahead and kill animals without any need? No, it's a take pitzida just to engage in a sport that's popular to go hunting. Makes no sense. Someone who needs it and earns a living as a hunter. That's not being cruel. Again, you can earn a living by this. Because you can certainly slaughter animals, and birds and animals, and you can kill fish as they're needed. It doesn't matter. Well, I can kill them for food, kosher animals I kill for food. And for non-kosher animals, you can sell their skins. That's fine. You can earn a living. Animals are given to human beings their needs. Someone who doesn't need it, the money. And it doesn't have any intention of using the animal. That's just cruel. You can't hunt because it makes you a cruel person, just randomly killing animals. Doesn't matter whether they're feeling pain or not. It's effect on you. So this I'm talking about in terms of yosher, being a good person, that you should definitely stay far away from this. You should not be hunting. And I would say that its effect is forbidden. That was in Yehuda about hunting. Again, Yisur Tal Bechayim is an example of virtue ethics. Being cruel is reprehensible even if the object of cruelty doesn't know it. Right? The animal doesn't know that you're being cruel. It's just what it does to you. There's a Gemara about sort of what it means not to feel sorry, to have empathy for animals. This is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Shani Shit B'Tzimirta suffered for Tleser Shani for 12 years with Tzimirta. And Rashi explains as Evan Shemakom Ketanim, with kidney stones. B'Sheva B'Tzafadita, which Rashi translates Choli Shebetocha Peh, some kind of lesion in his mouth. He was sick for a long time. Al Yidei Ma'asebo, this happened because of a thing that happened, that he did. Mahi, what was that episode? To Egla to have come Mamatu Leishchita. He saw a calf that was being brought to be shechted, to be slaughtered. As I'll tell you, Leishchei, and this calf runs to him as he's supervising the Shechita, runs to him, puts its head in his cloak. The Rebbe of Rabbi Yonasi, Bekabechi, the calf was crying. However, calf's cry, what do we say? Mooing. Amarle, and so he says to this calf, Zeal, get out of here. You were created for this. Amri. So they said, up in heaven, they decided, since he has no mercy, Litu Ale Yisurin, he was going to have to suffer. He ends up with kidney stones because he was cruel to this calf. That's the story of Gemara. Maase Halchu. And because of something that happened, he was cured. It was kidney stones. One day, Hakakanasha Amate, one day, his maidservant was cleaning his house. Hayashadye Kakashnulahu. She was sweeping out, and it was a family of Krishna are ferrets, some kind of small animal. And it was just sweeping them out. She found a nest of them and sweeping them out. Amarla, so he says to her, Shavakinu, let them be. Ketiv, the pasuk says, Rachamava kol ma'asav, God has mercy all his creatures, let those poor little animals be. And Amru, so they said, up in heaven, Ho'il merachem, now he's having pity, and Rachem alei will have mercy on him. And again, the act of, no, it wasn't the slaughtering the calf that was a problem. It was the being cruel to it. And the way the Rambam puts it in the Mor Nevuchim, there's a rule laid down by sages that's directly prohibited in the law to cause pain to an animal. Based on the words, and he quotes not the unloading the donkey, but by Bilam. It says, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass, right? Why are you hitting your donkey, Bilam, when he's his donkey? How can you do that? But the object of this rule is to make us perfect. It's for our own benefit. We should not assume cruel habits, that we should not unuselessly cause pain to others. On the contrary, we should be prepared to show pity and mercy to all living creatures, except when necessity demands the contrary, except when we eat. We should not kill animals for the purpose of practicing cruelty or for the purpose of play. That's the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim. In a similar vein, I would say we need to be nice for virtual assistants. We don't have much in the way of cruelty animals, but you should say thank you to Siri and to Alexa. Not because they care, because acting that way makes us good people. It's good to practice saying thank you. Okay, this is James Lilac, who is a columnist in Signal Walking, Minneapolis. Okay, you should thank your robots because otherwise you train yourselves to unlearn courtesy. So it's worth saying thank you to your Alexa when she turns the lights on. Again, it's a matter of practicing being good. And so the pasuk says, "Yudei tzaddik nefesh b'amto." The righteous knows the spirit of their animals, but rachamei rasha'im achzari. But the kindness of the rasha is cruel, because that's the flip side of it. That being good to animals because you feel their moral worth, it ends up diminishing your kindness to human beings. Which is why I don't like PETA. People for ethical treatment of animals, they're horrible people. Okay, this was the they had this whole advertising campaign called The Holocaust on Your Plate. Exhibition mounted by the PETA in 2003. It was funded by an anonymous Jewish philanthropist. I don't know how they're Jewish. And consisted of 60 square foot panels, each with a juxtaposition of images of the Holocaust with images of factory farming. Photographs of the concentration camps, inmates in wooden bunks were shown next to photographs of battery chickens, piled bodies of Holocaust victims next to build pile of pig carcasses. Captions allege that, like the Jews murdered in the concentration camps, animals are terrorized when they are housed in huge, filthy warehouses and rounded up for shipment to slaughter. Leather soap for a handbag are the moral equivalent of lampshades made with the skins of people killed in the death camp. That's a problem. As soon as we start, equating human beings with people, we end up minimizing cruelty to human beings. Ralph Cook famously was a vegetarian, but he was opposed to vegetarianism as a philosophy. And this was an article about Ralph Cook by a Gill student that Ralph Cook cautions against a looming moral hazard. When human morality progresses to a natural revulsion from eating animals, vegetarianism will be universally appropriate. Nothing wrong with not eating animals because you don't want to, you just don't like the idea of killing animals for food. But in this unredeemed world, adopting the stringency is wrong and dangerous. Excuse me, demonstrates a moral confusion, a failure to distinguish between people and animals. When people create the divine image of suffering, Ralph Cook asks, how can we focus our energies on animal rights? As if we've already corrected everything and already removed the reign of wickedness, falsehood, and hatred, and jealousy of nations, racism, and tribal fighting that leads to so many deaths and the flowing rivers of blood. As if all of this disappeared from the land, there's nothing left with which this human moralist to become righteous other than upholding ethics with animals. Vegetarianism risks erasing the distinction between man and beast. Animal rights are important, but human rights more so. Additionally, if animal rights are raised as a priority, some people will satisfy their instinct for generosity with animals while treating fellow people cruelly. We'd find horrible humans who think they're righteous because of their kindness to animals. That's Rachmei Reshaim Achzari. Kindness of the Rasha is cruel. Now, the purpose of all of this, of the ethics, moral, well, the most is to make us better people. That's got to be the bottom line. We have much to improve about ourselves and our society. But if we mistakenly order our priorities, if we focus on lesser evils while allowing greater evils to continue, we demonstrate a deep moral confusion. Misplaced priorities lead to gross perversions of justice. Hearts should go out to geese who are mistreated, something about pate de foie gras, but our tears should be shed and our efforts expended for people who are suffering. And that's where the Shir started, talking about different human beings and animals. A human being means thinking about the way you think, intentionally doing the things that make you a better person. Not deciding you have all the answers, not deciding that here are the simple rules, I can follow that and everything I do will be right. Well, it's more complicated than that. And I'm going to stop here because I have nothing more to say. Hopefully, I'll figure something out for next week. I'm saying that I'm kind of learning this as I go along.
Danny, you always see these programs that talk about, people who have, behavioral issues, and it comes out that they're extremely, unkind to animals, that it comes out in that, and then they also mistreat people as well.
Yes, that's one of these. That seems you. That's a red flag in terms of being a sociopath.
Yeah.
Is exactly that. In other words, you shouldn't be cruel to animals. But again, it's not. It's less that I feel that animals have inherent moral worth. It's that it goes together. That cruelty animal, pulling the wings off of flies and torturing your pets. It's something that means you are cruel, and now it's going to eat much. It will inevitably end up translating to cruelty to human beings.
But I'm just saying, we have all these laws of kashrut, which is also has to do with the way we treat living beings,
Yes.
So it's trying to make us more sensitive, across the board.
Right. No, I think that's exactly the point. To make us more sensitive. And that's very real. And that's Rav Kook's attitude about this. That it's got to make you more sensitive. And if vegetarianism makes you more sensitive about human beings, then that's good. If it makes you care about the suffering of brine shrimp more than about the suffering of people, that's bad. And
Interesting.
up
Thanks,
here.
Annie.